this morning, as we read in the scriptures from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the great admiral Richard Byrd, he's a famous polar explorer. He went to all those ice caps and explored. And in 1934, he spent a long time alone in the Antarctic, living in a shack. There was nobody around. But he tells of being alone for 6 months in his little shack. And every day he would go for walks, right? But he would carry with him a bundle of sticks, which he would push into the ground as he walked to give him a line so he can find his way back, right? So he would walk a certain distance, and then he would turn around and walk back to his shack, but he would take back the sticks, his bundle of sticks. So one day he decided to go for a walk, but which was a very long walk. And he whilst walking, he's sticking the sticks on the ground, his bamboo sticks, on the ground, going forward. And then, but he didn't realize that behind him, there was snow drifting. And when he went so far ahead, his bundle of sticks ran out, and he turned back, and he couldn't find his sticks. And immediately he got scared, because in the Antarctic, if you're lost out there without any shelter, you're done for, right? So when he looked, he immediately knew he was in trouble. So what he did, he piled up some snow in a heap at a distance. He took his flashlight, and he started walking in the direction he came from and looking back at his pile to keep a reference from where he was, right? He walked, and he'd keep flashing back until he reached a certain distance where he couldn't see the pile of snow no more, and he got really scared. When he thought to himself, this is it, I'm done for, because he can't see the pile of snow where he can go back to, and he can't find the sticks to lead him back to the shack. He said, you know what, I'm going to take 30 more steps. And if I don't find the sticks, that's it, I'm done. So he walked, and he walked, and he keep brushing the snow, trying to get the sticks. And he's walked. And on his 29th step, he found the stick. And he says, hallelujah, I'm saved. And he was alone out there in the wilderness, but he was joyous, and he was encouraged to move forward because he found the sticks. Because he found his guide. And just like that, today we're going to look at the word encouragement. In the Greek is paraklesis. It means someone to walk alongside you. Just like a marathon, we see marathons all the time, people run, and then some of them get left behind. But in one marathon race, this one person, they couldn't make it, and another runner who was beating them stopped. And he came alongside the runner, and he helped him to cross the finish line. Paraklesis, that's what it means, to walk alongside to help. You see, when life is tiring, and those of us who work outside and in face the weather with the heat in this heated place, right? And we are outside, and it's tiring because you have to do your job, and you just have to continue. When we are struggling with sin, keeps bringing itself and its face to us. When family's members aren't saved, and we think about them, and we think about eternity and where they're going to go, it's discouraging. When we think about the bills that is piling up, when we think about schoolwork, those of us who go to school, it's getting harder and harder. It's stressful. Health is failing. Loved ones are hurt. The future is unsure. Good friends leave. It's easy to be discouraged. But know that discouragement is a thief. Discouragement thieves. It steals your joy. It steals your vitality. Your vitality is your strength, your energy. It steals your zeal. It steals your peace. It steals our contentment. And for some, in these days, some people cannot handle discouragement, and they go the other road, suicide. They say, this world isn't good for me. This world isn't doing anything for me. I'm going to take my life. Those who don't know Christ. But the thing with discouragement is If we allow it to stay long enough, it invites some friends over, right? It invites some friends over, which is fatigue, hopelessness, despair, self-pity, depression, doubt, and bitterness. This is who discouragement invites also when we get discouraged. You see, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past. We're not satisfied with what happened in the past. It's distaste for the present. We are fed up with the present age and distrust for the future. You don't see what the future holds for you because you're discouraged and you don't care. Dissatisfaction for the past, distaste for the present, and distrust for the future. Is it actually it is a result of blindness. You may say, how does that make you blind? Well, if we aren't grateful for the blessings of yesterday, or we are unconcerned about today and its opportunities that it brings, and you're unsure about the strength for tomorrow, we are blind. It's unawareness of the presence of God, and that is terrible. An unbelief in the presence of on the promises of His Word. Do you know that scholars who study the Word and they checked on the promises of God in the Bible to believers? You know, do you know how much promises are there to us in the Bible? Anybody can make a guess? That's a good guess. No, it's 3,500, between 3,500 and 8,810 promises. All these are promises that God has made to us. Imagine that, 8,810 promises to us. So we are unaware of the presence of God and we don't believe in His promises. You see, if we have nothing to rely on, or we forget our blessings or look at our circumstances, that's when discouragement begins to come in and take hold of us. What we need is encouragement. We need paraclesis. We need someone to walk us alongside of us to hold us up. We have Christ as our Redeemer who paid it all on the cross for us. But we have fellow believers. And that's one of the important things of coming to church is fellowship. Two fellows in a ship. Right? That's what you break it down to. Two fellows in a ship heading in the same direction, hopefully. But we need each other in a way I'm sure most of us can't say, well, I'm going to help hold up this person physically. I'm going to help financially. You know what? Sometimes you just need to be there. Just say, look, you know what? Do you need to speak? A guy in work always says, when he sees me, he says, Stephen, are you all right? Do you need a hug? I said, no, man, I'm fine. But as believers, we should be not extending hugs, but extending a shoulder to someone to walk alongside. So, look, I'm here for you, man. If you have a problem, come check me. Is that all right? I may not be able to help you, but I could listen. Paraclesis. We need hope and peace. And the knowledge that the Lord knows our troubles and is concerned about us. God is so concerned. Imagine that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Right? Because He loved us. Because He's concerned about us. Because He says He's not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. Every single one. That's what God wants. We know that He's concerned about us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus is the best way to be encouraged. In Him, we have comfort and peace. And if you don't have comfort and peace, then look to Jesus. I remember this way talking about looking unto Jesus. I remember when Peter was walking on the water, and the Bible says, when he looked and he saw the wind. Anybody here can see the wind? Nobody can see the wind. You can see the results of the wind. But the Bible says, when Peter looked away from Jesus and he saw the wind, when he saw the trouble, when we look at away from Jesus and we see the waves and we see the wind and we see the discouragement, Baruch Christ said, why did you doubt? Right? But his hand is always extended to raise up. The first point I'm going to make this morning is be encouraged because God is a God of mercy and comfort. And I like the verse that says, it's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. He is a God of mercy and comfort in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Sometimes we look to our spouse for comfort. Sometimes we look to our parents for comfort. Sometimes we look for our siblings for comfort. But you know what? God has all the comfort we need. Man would let us down all the time. But you know what? Christ never let us down. He's always there. God is called the Father of mercies. The Greek mercy is oikteumos. Oikteumos, if I said that correct. Right? It means compassion. It means pity. It means mercy. It is the same thing that is felt in the heart of God. In God's very heart, that's what he feels for us. Oikteumos. Oikteumos. The Father of mercies. He's the author of mercies. When we look at life and we look at how much discouragement there is, you look at the walk of our Christian walk, and we see Christians walk like they don't know Christ. We get discouraged and say, you know, why don't they know? Why don't the preacher preach? But you know what? He's the God of all mercies. He's the author of mercies. Second point. Take encouragement because God is there in our afflictions. We look around us. That's from verse 4. We look around us and we think about the trouble and the anguish and the persecution that's going on. Thlipsis is the Greek word for affliction. We look at the world today. We keep our eyes on the east. And we see all the trouble that's going on in Nigeria where they are killing all the Christian people. They kill a pastor and 70-something believers just for being a Christian. Just for saying, you know what? Jesus is Lord. How many of us would raise our hands if someone comes and said, you know what? You deny Christ or die. How many of us would say, Jesus is Lord? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just asking out. Is Jesus Lord to you? You can say amen for that. Amen. Let it be so. When we look at our trouble and our anguish, it comes in many forms. It comes as sickness. And people get sick all the time. Things happen. You have an accident. You hurt yourself. But anguish comes like that. Affliction. Thlipsis comes in persecution, in burdens, financial difficulties, loss of a loved one. But we don't have to worry whether or not he's going to take care of us. He already has. Christ has already taken care of us. You know how? Anybody know how? By dying on the cross for us. By making a way that we look at life and its troubles and its frustrations and we say, oh, it's so hard. But you know what? When we go to heaven, there is no more of those things. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more hunger. No more sickness. No more getting old. Right? There's no more of that. He has already done it in the cross. He will continue, and he would also continue for us. He will continue to care for us. After all, we are more valuable than sparrows. He says, even the sparrows God feeds. And they are here and they are gone. But he says, you know what? You are worth more than sparrows. The third point. We should be encouraged because the comfort we receive from God comes through Jesus. The comfort we receive comes through Jesus in verse 5. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds to Christ. Now, if you are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which you also suffer. It comes to Jesus. This means that all our comfort, all our encouragement and hope we received through people through the word of God, through circumstances, are filtered through Jesus. Everything we receive, I mean, we say, because of this person, I am here. Because of this person, I have nice clothes. Right? But God blesses us to people through the word, through circumstances. Jesus blessed his people because of his will. This morning I want to encourage you, and it's a short sermon, but it's to encourage us that fight the fight that we are in. Tell someone, look, you know what? Jesus loves you. I know these days it's hard to say that without getting yourself in trouble, right? But anybody comes to us and says, you know, why is this smile on your face? Why are you happy? Why do you have that peace that I can't understand? What's wrong with your face? Why are you always smiling? You know what? It's because Jesus gave me that peace. And he can give each one who asks of him. Just like when we ask for wisdom and he gives it all fine and fault, we can ask Jesus, look, help me to know this peace. Help me to know your love. Help me to know your comfort and your covering upon my life. Help me to be that person that shares your peace. Use me, Lord. Let these hands be the hands that you use. Let this mouth and this mind and this eye be the things that you use. Help me to be usable. And he would. The encouragement is that something that belongs to us as Christians. We have that. We have the hope that the world needs. The world is looking for ways and means to find peace within them. And they would not find it because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the great I Am. He is the one that cares and comforts and is concerned for us. We don't have to live in a world of hurt and doubt or live alone or cry alone. We have the body of Christ that lifts us up. Who here is going to be the person that says, you know what? I can be the person that you can come to. I can be the person that when you're discouraged, speak to me. When you're hurt, speak to me. It's all right. I'll be there. I'll be the shoulder to cry. On Wednesday nights, we have a wonderful circle, as Pastor like to say. There's always room in the circle for anybody else. You know what? It's more about getting together and laying your burdens, walking alongside, bring your prayer requests so that we may bring it before God. If anything you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. If two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. If you bring it to God and you agree on earth, he will answer it according to his will. The word of God teaches us and the Holy Spirit indwells us, who warms our souls. We have the God of encouragement waiting to show his mercy and love. He's just waiting to show it. But we need to trust. Remember the Lord's blessing. Remember what God has done in the past. And each one, we can look back on our past lives and see where God has kept harm from us, where God has blessed us, where God has spared our life. And every morning we wake up and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you for watching over us last night. Thank you for giving me the health to be able to get off this bed. Sometimes it's hard to get off the bed, right? Or to walk. To talk when you're able to say, thank you, Jesus, that alone is a blessing. We need to depend on God. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and him alone. In Matthew 11:20, it says, Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. I like to always follow from past teaching that when you go to church and you have a chance to speak, always make sure you share the plan of salvation. I know most of us, are, if not all of us, are believers in Christ. But sometimes you reach a point when you start to doubt and you doubt what God has done already, and you're not encouraged to say, you know what, I am a child of God. If you believe in Christ, you believe that he came, he died, and he rose again for the full payment of sin, and you put your faith and trust in that. Put your faith and trust as we sit in a chair. We don't check the chair first to see if it's strong enough, but we just sit on it, right? That's what it means, salvation. We put our faith and trust that Christ, what he did and he completed on the cross 2,000 years ago, it is done. It is finished. The payment for sin has been completed. It's completed. Our sins past, our sins present, and our sins future has been paid for. We put our faith and trust in him and say, Jesus, look, I believe that you did that for me, and I accept that gift of salvation. The Bible says the moment you do that, to him that believe, I've given the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's bow this morning as we seek God's face and we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, truly you are the King of Kings. You are the Majesty. We worship you this morning, dear Jesus. We bow before you, for you are the King of Glory. We thank you so much for this day, dear God. Thank you for showing us that we can be encouraged in you through your people, dear God. We can have a shoulder to lean on, to walk beside us, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear God, for your love for us, and you alone are worthy of all our prayer and all our praise and worship. This morning, as we continue, dear God, to go forth in this day, dear Jesus, help us to be encouraged to walk the walk with you, dear God, to hold you close to our hearts, dear God, and to receive from you your blessings and favors. Give us a good day, dear God, until our next appointed time. Take each one to their various home in a safe manner, dear God. All these things we ask in no other name, but your name, dear Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.